Hey guys, I'm Brad Livingston, lead pastor here at Transformation Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to our sermon today. At TC, we exist to see people transform from who they are to who God wants them to be. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, I hope today's message inspires you to take one step closer to Christ.
Hey, we are so excited. It's going to be a little bit different today, normally preaching, but we're going to do some storytelling today. But how many knows that God is an exceeding abundantly above, beyond what we can think or ask kind of God? Come on, somebody found that out to be true. And he loves to show up in divine favor and blessing in our life that he can get glory from it from the testimony of his faithfulness to us. And so today, Kathy and I are going to do something different. We're going to sit and we're going to take you through a journey of our life. And we're just going to highlight a few of the hundreds of stories that we could tell. But in this series, How'd They Do It? Pastor Brad said, well, I want you to take the church through just a little journey of your mom and I, or you and your mom's story, and just let them see the faithfulness of God and the favor of God. And we're going to talk today about favor ain't fair. Come on, somebody. How many's found out favor ain't fair? You see, God's favor in your life is not based on your performance. It's based on saying yes to your purpose. And when you connect a yes to your purpose, it opens up a door for God's divine favor in your life. And we want to share a little bit of our journey. And to do that, I want to bring out one of the most amazing, beautiful, powerful. She's Satan's worst nightmare when she's in prayer. She's one of God's favorite daughters. My wife, Kathy Livingston. Come on out. Good. I didn't get an applause like that when I came out. I don't know. It's all right. Hey, just keep it. Wow, that was awesome. Now, one thing that we found out in our journey very early on is that God has a way of just showing up in the most unexpected ways and the most unexpected places in our life to just show that he's faithful. When you say yes to what he's called you to do, his faithfulness literally defies logic. It just doesn't make sense. Come on, any other witnesses in here that God has just showed up? And we hope that our journey today will just encourage you and motivate you to say yes and your purpose to God. Don't let situations cause you to lose your faith and your hope in God. And realize that when you don't see God working in your camp, he's in the enemy's camp working on your behalf. And he's making all things work together for your good, that God can be glorified in you fulfilling your purpose in life. And we say it like this, and you're going to hear it over and over, and you can join us in it. It's just simply this: favor ain't fair. I know the grammar's not right, but boy, does it sound good, right? Come on, somebody say it with us. Favor ain't fair. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring peace and prosperity. How many could leave right now and say, I got what I need right there? Amen. But then he says, let love and faithfulness, your purpose, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And we're just going to take you on this journey. It really started when Kathy was 14 and I was 16. I was announcing a Little League baseball tournament, and all of a sudden this girl walked in, and she had white shorts, red top, tan legs, long blonde hair. I'm 16 years old, hormones flying out the window, and I looked at my buddy Rex, and I said, Rex, check out the blonde in the white shorts, and I forgot to turn my mic off. And it went through the whole stadium. They introduced me to her after the game. We dated 6 years. In July, we'll be married 44. So it's been a good little journey. But in that, we want to show you just some key truths that we've learned along the way in our journey. And it really started, we started really seeing God's faithfulness immediately as we were engaged in those 6 years. And I was in Bible college in Lakeland, Florida. And my family was very poor, so I'm going to school. I'm working, and I'm going to school, paying tuition, and I just ran out of money. I didn't have the money, and so I was going to take off a couple semesters and work and get money and go back to school. And a couple of our professors heard about it, and the school, they had me come in the office, and they informed me that two of my professors had paid the rest of my college off. And so we immediately, because I'd given up a scholarship for architect, At 15 years old, the Lord called me into the ministry on a Sunday night and confirmed it with my pastor. And during that time, I received a full ride in architect. And so I had to make a decision, take the full ride or pay my way through school. And we follow the plan of God and have no regrets for that, obviously. But we saw God immediately show up and take care of that for us. And so I'm in there, and we see God show up. And then all of a sudden, in my senior year, I was invited on a 10-day mission trip to the South Bronx. And understand, Kathy's at home and there, and we're young. When we got married, she was 20, I was 21. And so I go on this mission trip. When I'm on this mission trip, I feel the Lord speak to me, and he says, this is where you're going to come back and start your marriage and your ministry. He wasn't telling her that in Florida, okay?
I said, I'm not going to marry a preacher, and I'm not going to New York.
Never.
Obviously, that wasn't true. But, yeah, never say never, because the Lord will be sure that whatever you're saying never to is going to happen.
Yeah, so when I got back from the Bronx, I got off the van that they brought us in, and I met Kathy, and she looked at me when we got in the car, and she said, you're going to tell me we're going to New York, aren't you? And I said, I don't know. I said, I think we might be. I feel like God's speaking to my heart. We're going to take some time to pray about it. And she had let me know that she had already told God she's never marrying a preacher. Well, I am going to be one and never going to New York, and we might be going. And so we got married, and on July 12, 1980, and 3 weeks later, we packed a U-Haul truck, and we moved to the Bronx, New York. And we started our marriage and our ministry there. And here's the thing I want to say. After Kathy said never, God spoke to her heart, and she met with me, and she said, Dan, God has still not called me to New York. He still has not told me to go, but he has called me to be your wife. And wherever you say God says we're going, I'm going with you, and I will be your number one support. And I thank God she has been that. And once we got there, she fell in love with it, and we had a blast there for almost right at 3.5 years. And the whole point of that is never say never. Never say never. And when you go into that point that you finally go yes to your purpose, you find out that just favor ain't fair. It just ain't fair. And so when we got to the Bronx, we saw that favor begin to happen right away. We moved in, and we had this amazing apartment, which was not. It was a one-bedroom on the fifth floor, and in a very old building on 203rd Street, right off the Grand Concourse. And when you go up there, and we went into our first apartment, it had iron gates on every window, had 5 locks on the front door. Bronx is real, y'all. It was in. And so we move into this apartment. We're in love. We just got married. We're called by God to New York City. And all of my professors at home are going, you're crazy. Not the ones that paid my bill, but a lot of the preachers and all were like, y'all are crazy. You're going to starve to death or get killed one. And all my unsaved friends were going, go on, Dan, trust God. He'll take care of you. And I'm like, something wrong with this somewhere. And but we went, and so we move in, and we get into this little apartment. We just got raggedy furniture up there. Our dining room table was, we couldn't have anybody come over that weighed over 150 pounds, because if you sat in one of those chairs, all 4 legs were going to fly out, you know. It was one of them T-Street deals, okay? But anyway, some people know what I'm talking about. But so we're there, and I'm volunteering at the church. I became pastor of evangelism on no salary at all. I eventually got $100 a month for gas. I was volunteer, overseeing 18 ministries a week going out of the church. Kathy worked as a teller at a bank, and she brought home $137 a week. Our rent was over $600 a month. That's not including all the other expenses of car insurance and food, so you add it up and figure out. And we found our checkbooks years ago, and we looked at them, and we just realized again how the favor of God, that every bill was paid month after month as we saw the favor of God on our life. And then all of a sudden, we began to wonder, because we started realizing we didn't have money for food, and we started thinking about all those words that were spoken over us. You're going to starve to death. You're going to starve to death. And we thought we were for a while. And we know what it's like to buy a large pizza, and you just eat a slice of meal and warm it up and warm it up and warm it up. And by about the third day, it don't want to warm up. You know what I'm saying?
Good thing I like pizza.
Yeah.
I still like pizza, by the way.
And pizza's still one of her favorite foods, and I just don't care if I never see another one. You know what I mean? It's just not mine. And I'm like, give me the ziti. You can have that junk. You know what I mean? But anyway, so we were literally hungry and just eating warmed up pizza. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call one day. And this was right after Kathy spoke to me. And I told Kathy, I said, Kathy, if you don't want to stay here, we don't have to stay here. She's just married. She's, you know, we're going through this. And you start to let a little doubt come in. You know, questions start to come. Your faith starts to dwindle. Like, God, where are you? And I told her, I said, Kathy, if you want to go home, I'll take you home. I will not force you to stay here. And her words to me was, Dan, God called us here. This is where we're supposed to be. We're going to stay. If we eat every pizza in this city, we're not going anywhere until God says go. I got a phone call, and a guy says, I need to come by your apartment and see you. I said, who are you? He said, I belong to the church that you guys have come to serve at Love Gospel Assembly. And I said, okay. So all of a sudden, our doorbell rings, and we open the door, and there's this short Puerto Rican dude standing there, rough-looking guy. He's got a big old plastic bag in both hands. He never asked if he could come in. He just walked right by me, laid those two bags on our little dining room table. He started pulling out prime rib, New York strip, T-bone steaks, egg, bacon, butter, milk, orange juice. And I'm like, the dude's a magician, man. I'm looking. I'm like, where are you pulling all that out of? I said, who are you? He said, my name's Freddie. He said, I belong to the church that you and your wife have come to help us. He said, I looked at you and your wife Sunday, and God told me you were hungry. He said, I used to be a pimp and a dope dealer, but I met Jesus. He said, I own a meat market right up the road, and God told me to take care of you and your wife. And for every second Tuesday, for 3.5 years, that little short Puerto Rican showed up at our door with two bags of New York strip, prime rib. I mean, listen. The guys that told us we're going to go hungry in Florida was eating hot dogs. We're eating prime rib in New York. You know what I'm talking about?
Favor ain't fair.
Favor just ain't fair. And the message behind that is God sees you. God sees you right where you're at that moment where we're questioning God, you know, where are you? Where we couldn't see him, he saw us. And he said, before you see one of your days, I've already seen all of them. I've got this. If you just keep saying yes to your purpose, I'll keep saying yes to your provision. And God has a way of showing up in those very dark and times. And then all of a sudden the church started talking to us, and they were like, well, we would like for you to start traveling and going out to other cities and teaching about evangelism and outreach and training people. And so Kathy and I, we left the Bronx. I didn't want to leave. It was really us obeying leadership. Kathy was like doing somersaults a little bit over there because New York was not her favorite playground. And we had just had Natalie. And she had just had Natalie. And I get to participate in that. But she had Natalie. And she was like, I really don't want to raise our daughter here. And so that was the good part on her side. I love the ministry. I love that frontline ministry. And so we left New York.
I will say, whenever I was in deep prayer for what the Lord would have for Dan and I, or we already knew he was going to the Bronx, but for the Lord to give me peace about that decision, and it was through a song, but it was an old song, so y'all probably know it. But anyway, the Lord did give me peace. And I felt in my spirit that the Lord would say 3 years. We would be there 3 years. And we were there 3 years and I think 3 months because the Lord was preparing us and preparing the way for what he would have for us to do next. So that's why we're there that long.
She didn't tell me that. Anyway, I was there for life. But anyway, God had a different plan. And so we said yes to that, and so we left New York City, and we didn't go and preach everywhere, but we would go into a church that wanted us to come in, and we would look at their city and their community, and we would set up outreach and evangelism for the homeless, the poor, and street ministry, and we would train leadership to run it. And we would be there 3 months, 6 months, a year, and then we would go to another place and do it again. So we needed a motorhome. And so we began to pray for a motorhome, and you got to remember, we're leaving New York City with her making $137 a week, and I'm volunteering at the church, and so our bank account is not very big. There's called a big zero, if you know what I'm talking about. negative sometime. And so now we need a motorhome. We have absolutely no money down for one. And we found this 32-foot Southwind motorhome that we absolutely love. But we have to have $10,000 down to do it. We said yes to God for the purpose, but we didn't have the provision yet. But yet we're still saying yes. And so we told God, Lord, if you just provide for us, we're ready. And out of nowhere, we get a phone call from Richie and Gloria Mayer, who he was the captain of the police department in the Bronx when we were there. He retired, and they moved to Boca Raton, Florida. Well, he calls us. We hadn't seen each other in years, practically. And he calls us, and he says, Dan, this is Richie. And I said, hey, man, how's it going? Good. He said, how are you and Miss Kathy doing? I said, we're doing great. I said, we're in this new season of our life. He said, well, that's why I'm calling. He said, God has spoken to Gloria and I over and over and over, and we're supposed to bring y'all $10,000. Well, that's what the motorhome needed for a down payment, $10,000. Same moment, same amount. And while we're over here going, God, where are you? God's already talking to somebody that we don't know he's talking to, because God said, give and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And when you look at the original there, it means fall into your lap. And when you say yes to God and the purpose of God, God has a way of taking supernatural provision and let it just fall into your lap in supernatural ways. So we traveled for 3.5 years and did that type of ministry. And then in 1997, God speaks to us, and a church opened there, a position opened as assistant pastor in northern Kentucky. And we took that position in northern Kentucky. And so, and Kathy was really happy about that, because trying to raise a child in a motorhome is not fun, okay? And traveling from city to city, she was very thankful when we made these changes, all right? And so we go to Kentucky, but now we have a motorhome, but we don't have a home. So now we got to get rid of the motorhome, get a house. And we don't have money for a down payment on a house. And so we start looking, and we find this beautiful little home. It wasn't big. It's about a 1,400-square-foot tri-level house in this nice subdivision, very middle class, had an in-ground pool in the back, so that was a win for us. And so we said, we love that house, but we didn't have the $3,200 down that they needed for us to be able to get it. And so they showed us some more houses, but we were like, we just love that house. We just want that house, and we don't have the down payment. So we would let weeks go by and looked at some others. And then the realtor, Linda Dyer, she called us and she said, Dan, I need to meet with y'all so we can sign the contract on the house. And I said, well, Linda, we don't have the $3,200. She said, I do. She said, 32 men in the church brought me $100 each, and we've got your down payment, and we need to sign the contract on the house. And I'm like, cool that, you know. And so we meet and we buy the house, but now we don't have furniture. So now we got a house and no furniture, and people let us borrow some of their stuff, so we're living on borrowed stuff. And there's this guy in Hamilton, Ohio, who owned Baldwin's Furniture Store. Well, this is like Saks Fifth Avenue kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? We're on T Street kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, you know, as far as money. And so Vern, he keeps calling me because I was on the radio preaching, and he sponsored our radio program. And so he kept calling me, and he was like, Dan, I want you to come and look at some furniture. I want to bless you. When a business owner tells me he wants to bless me, in my mindset, he wants to sell me something. Anybody else have that same mindset? Like, and you're out of my league, dude. You're going to embarrass me in front of my wife when I can't pay for what you want to show us. So I kept ignoring his calls. And finally, he called me. He said, Dan, will you listen to what I'm saying? Will you bring your wife up here, because God told me to bless you? I said, okay. So we drive up to Hamilton, and we go into this store, and I pull Vern over, and I whisper to him, I said, don't you embarrass me in front of my wife, dude. I said, furniture, living room only, and get it in my grade, okay? I mean, I literally had this conversation with him.
And I said, I went all over the showroom, putting my hand on all the furniture that I wanted, and praying the Lord's provision, and it's okay, Dan. The Lord said we're supposed to come over here and look at this.
She ain't lying. And so Vern brings me into his office. He brings Kathy and I to his office. He brings his interior decorator in, and he said, okay, they have 3 bedrooms, a full basement, dining room, one of China. I'm going, Vern, absolutely not. No, Vern. I'm talking out loud now. I'm like, Vern, stop. Well, you and I had a conversation. Stop. And so she leaves and comes back a little while, and she went and wrote down everything she had said, God, I want. Yes, she did. And brought it back in. Remember now, this is 1988. It was over $30,000 of furniture. Top of the line stuff. I said, Vern, I told you. He said, well, you, and then he got rough. He said, well, you just shut up and stop. He said, I've been calling you for months, and God told me to bless you. He said, $300, give me a dollar a month, and it's yours.
I'll add a side note in there, since we mentioned one of them, but our son was born in 87, so he was a baby when we moved there.
Oh, ain't that sweet. That impacted that story big time right there. Welcome home, Brad.
You know, yeah. As a mama, no, you got to mention all your children.
It does, because we didn't have cribs. We didn't have nothing. So they got a nice bedroom set. We're still living on that furniture today. It's that quality. I mean, it's amazing, the blessing of God. And so we've got furniture, we've got house, but now we don't have a vehicle because we were in a motorhome. And so we were riding up there in this little old Datsun wagon that couldn't even climb the hills. Every time we tried to get to our house, they go, you're waiting for it to quit, you know? And so this guy, Ralph Spalding, he called me one day and he said, Dan, you want to go to lunch? And I said, sure. I was assistant pastor of the church. And he said, well, I'll come pick you up. And he had a little one of them car lots that you do in your front yard out there in the country. He was just an old gentleman, great guy. And so I said, well, come on. He said, I'll pick you up. So he pulls up, and there's this beautiful black Toyota, mag wheels, everything. And he said, come on, you drive. And he throws me the keys. And so I get in to drive, and when I sit down and did my seat belt, I look down, and there's the title. My name's on it. And he said, God told me to bless you and your wife with this truck. He said, it's paid for. Keys there. It's yours, Pastor Dan. Sign the title. Let's get it done. Favor ain't fair. You know why? Your provision is found in your purpose. Your provision is always found in your purpose. One of the greatest events that ever happened in my life was in one of the darkest moments of my life, and I went to hear my mentor, Burke Clendenin, preach, and I was raising the funds for a ministry and going through a lot of doubt and worry, and when he got up to preach, I walked in and sat down beside him. We just had a second together. And I'll never forget, he turned and he pointed that big old long finger. He was an old Marine sergeant. And he pointed that big old finger. He's got his mic on and everything. And he said, always remember this, son. God never starts anything on earth he hadn't already finished in heaven. Come on now. And I want to tell you, your provisions is found in fulfilling your purpose. When you say yes to your purpose, you will find this out. Say it with us. Favor ain't fair. So then we go to Kathy's favorite spot.
This was the wilderness in the desert. This was Cincinnati, Ohio. I love y'all, Cincinnati. It's okay. But this was the wilderness journey for me.
Yeah, it was for her. We were in Northern Kentucky as assistant pastor, but then we were doing a lot of street meeting ministry up in Cincinnati. And there's an area there called Over the Rhine, which was the very lowest of income, high drug, high prostitution, high crime. And I would take teams in there all the time, and we would do street ministry. And God began to speak to my heart for us to start an inner city church there. And so we started looking and looking. The church was supportive to us. And so I started looking. There was absolutely no building available for a church except one building, and it was right dead in the middle of Over the Rhine. And it was an old theater, seats 800 people, that had been shut down for like 15 years. It had a massive hole in the ceiling with rain just pouring in. And when you walked in, you had to wear a mask. It stunk so bad from all the moisture, and there were rats in there bigger than cats, and I'm not lying. I mean, they would fly by you. You're jumping and moving, And so I got with the owner and I got with the city, and they practically gave it to us if we would do something with it, you know? And I'm like, give me the building. We're going to build a garden in the ghetto. And I was so excited, man. I had vision. I'm seeing the whole thing. And I went and told Kathy, I said, we got a building. And so I bring her up there and I walk her in the building. And her first response was, she looked around, she smelled, she looked at me and she said, please, God in heaven, tell me you didn't buy this building.
That is the truth. That was a god-awfulest looking building. And like he said, it stunk. And the big hole in the roof and all the repairs that needed to be done. But God did help him amongst several other people, you know, refurbish that building. And it did turn into a garden in the ghetto.
Yeah, the miracle started immediately because now I've got this building and we're ready to go to work, but I got this hole in the roof and there's nothing we can really do on the inside until we get that fixed. And I get a phone call right at the moment. I get a phone call from a guy and he says, "Is this Pastor Dan?" I say, "Yes." He said, "Are you the guy that's at that building downtown?" I said, "I am." He said, "Well, I need to meet with you." I said, "Okay." So I meet with him. He said, "I'm the president of a roofers union here in Cincinnati." And he said, "I got 17 men on an apprenticeship. And they need on-the-job hours, and I want to know, can we put a new roof on this building for you?" "Let me pray about it." "Yeah." I said, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm serious." He said, "We'll do the whole thing." I said, "Well, I don't have any money for the materials." He said, "It comes with it. We got it already taken care of." And God put a brand new roof on that building so that we could get in and do all the work later. And we saw the hand of God do so many things there in Cincinnati. And then about three and a half years later, we knew that God would raise up a guy that was going to take it behind us. And he did and did a great job. And we came to Pensacola. Now, I had to force Kathy to come to Pensacola. Really, that was the one time she didn't even pray. When I said Pensacola and she said beach, yes, God, yes, yes, God.
A few Walmarts, too.
And so here we came to Pensacola. Things were going great. We were told that Pensacola had not had a hurricane, a major hurricane, for like over 30 years. And then we showed up. And in 2 years, two massive hurricanes come through. And then this little storm came through called Ivan. Just a little storm. We're on Fairfield, called Hearts of Love Ministry at that time. Had the building there. Some of you were with us. And Ivan destroyed all three of our buildings. And so I'm preaching on Sundays with rain just pouring in the building. We just moved over. And then we're having church in the parking lot. And then we found out through the insurance company that we didn't have insurance for hurricane on two of the three buildings. And we were going to lose them all. And then the people that were over the insurance company met with me and said, "Because of the way that you have talked to us, I've met with our board, and we're going to cover all three of your buildings 100%. And they did. But it also, in that process, we lost over a third of our congregation because they lost jobs, they lost homes, and they moved away. And we also lost over a third of our income, so it affected our salary. Because we let our salary go first so that we could take care of the people in the church. And we got a phone call from Pastor Joe Arminio in Whippany, New Jersey. And he said, "Dan, what's going on down there?" And I told him. And he said, "Give me about 15 minutes. He called me back. He said, "Abundant Life Worship Center is going to pay your salary for a year. And he said, "We're going to pay your, let me make sure I say it right. He said, "We're going to pay your mortgage. And we're going to pay your salary for a year." And they did.
Because God's favor ain't fair.
Because you see, you've got to realize sometimes God uses people. Sometimes God uses people to give you favor. Don't despise the people that are around you. We didn't ask for anything. God just showed up in a sovereign, supernatural way in time of our need. And they offered to do it for a second year. And we declined it and said, "No, God's got us and he's taking care of us. Give it to somebody else that needs it." We saw the favor of God because sometimes God uses people to give you favor. And when God drops unexpected blessings in your lap, you'll say it again over and over and over. Favor ain't fair. Come on, one more time. Will you say it with us? Favor ain't fair. And then it brings us to a really difficult time in our journey. And this was Kathy, when Kathy went through a very, very dark time in 2019.
So around about September 2019, I decided to try different medication for my hormones. Ladies, never do that. But anyway, it was I thought that it was a good idea, so I tried it, and it was something that's supposed to be good after being on a certain hormone for like 20-something years. It was a very bad idea. I landed up, my hormones kind of spiraled down to zero, and girls, you know what that means. That's not a very good thing. So I spiraled down mentally to nothing. You'll see in a minute. But I went through a lot of extreme anxiety. There's some here that knows those days, and depression. And I'll let him go from here.
It was tough. It was one of the darkest moments of my life to watch the strongest woman of faith and prayer that I know become the most vulnerable woman. And no, for months, we had Kathy on suicide watch. She's given us permission to share this so that it might help someone else in this room today. And thankfully, the women of this church gathered together and had a woman assigned to our house every day for over 9 months that would be with Kathy so that I could go out and work. And we have a picture of Kathy. She hates it, but she's letting us put it up today. But this was my wife. She was empty. She was a shell. She went from this beautiful, glowing woman to a shell that had nothing in her eyes. She would just stare. And the doctors met with me when she was in this condition. The psychologist met with me and said, "This is probably the best it's ever going to be." And I said, "Absolutely not." Man, and I went to war with God for my wife. And I said, "God, you can't let her live this. She can't live this the rest of her life. You got to give me my wife back." And it was about 9 months later, we were in our car, and she didn't look like that anymore. She looked like a different picture. Yeah. And I looked over and it just hit me. I saw her and the glow was there. The life was in her eyes. And I said, "Come on, selfie time, selfie time." And I took that picture. And then when I looked at it, I began to weep because God gave me my wife back. And he gave us a miracle of favor. He defied medicine. He defied science. He defied everything that was against us. Because when you're walking in obedience and faith, favor has a way of finding you. Come on, somebody. When you keep walking in obedience and faith, favor has a way of finding you. God's favor will meet you in the darkest, most desperate moments of your life if you just keep saying yes.
Can I interject there too? I just want to say sometimes when you cannot cover yourself, there's somebody else covering for yourself, you in prayer. And that's the way it was. Of course, we've always covered each other and the family in prayer. That's the hugest thing with us, but one of the hugest things. But just remember that. Just reach out if you ever go through things like that. Somebody's praying for you somewhere. And in my case, obviously, it was my family, my kids, and my husband, my awesome husband.
And the key to this is say yes to trusting God. Just say yes to trusting God. In your journey, wherever you might be today, your marriage, your business, your family, your career, wherever you might be today, just say yes to God's purpose and his plan for your life. And when you say yes to that purpose, it's a key in heaven that opens and unlocks the favor and the blessing of God. And God will show up strong on your behalf. And we just want to challenge you today. We did not know all that life was going to bring our way or throw at us, just like you don't. But we do know this, favor ain't fair. And God has a way of showing up in your time of need. Will you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful that you are a God who's faithful. You're a God who's faithful to your word, to your promises, to your people. And God, you don't base your faithfulness on our performance. You base your faithfulness on our obedience. That God, we say yes to your purpose. And God, right now across this room, God, there's lives, God, that are in that deciding moment. They're in that place of seeing things that doesn't look so well. They don't see everything happening yet. But God, we pray today that just something that's said will give them that spark of faith and hope and encouragement to know that favor ain't fair. And if I walk this journey out, God will show up in my time of trouble, in my time of need, and he will be faithful. But maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor Dan, I'm just not where I need to be with God, period. I know about God, but I don't know him in the way that I know I need to know him today. And I need Jesus in my life. Will you pray with me?" And if that's you today, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'd love for you to pray it with me today. And if you'll pray this prayer, mean it in your heart, this can be the beginning. It's not the end. It'll be the beginning of an amazing journey. And as Pastor Brad says so often, if you'll make this prayer and you'll hear what we have to offer here and you'll give us a year of your life here at TC, we promise you that we will help you on this journey and we'll watch you walk out God's purpose in your life and watch the joy of the Lord become real to you. Pray this prayer with me if that's you. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you now. You said in your word, if I would just come to you, confess that you are Lord, believe in my heart that you raised from the dead, I can be saved. Right now, I come to you. I confess, I believe, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.